Hi, everybody. Welcome to English Digest. I'm Stephanie.
I am Tom.
It's one of my favorite units. We're following up on day one. This is day two of our travel unit, and we're talking about Colmar, France, which is in northeastern France near the border of Germany. And it sounds like just a really scenic area to go and relax and also to not just see beautiful buildings or natural scenery, but to actually dive into their food. Their cuisine sounds wonderful to me. So today we're going to talk about some landmarks there that we didn't get to, a museum, and also going to take a look at some of the food they have there and a Christmas market. Christmas markets in Europe are so fun. So if you get a chance to go to Europe during the holiday season for us, which is Christmas, you should definitely make sure you stop in at one of those Christmas markets.
Okay, let's get to it, everybody. Let's read the contents of our lesson. Listen carefully, and we'll be right back to explain it. Colmar, France's living fairy tale. Beyond its attractive streets, Colmar holds a remarkable secret that ties it to a beloved landmark, the Statue of Liberty in New York City. This connection comes through Frederick Auguste Bartholdi, the French sculptor who designed the statue and who was born in Colmar in 1834. Today you can step inside his former home, now the Bartholdi Museum, to explore a collection of models and sketches of the statue. Additionally, the museum displays Bartholdi's personal belongings, which uncover his life and work. Another delightful way to experience Colmar's charm is through its cuisine. Colmar is well known for its white wines produced in the nearby vineyards. These wines pair perfectly with the region's tasty dishes. Among the must-tries is tart flambé, a thin crust specialty topped with cream, onions, and bacon. You'll also want to try the classic Alsatian bretzel, a soft, chewy baked bread usually twisted into a knot while wandering through the streets. For cheese lovers, the Marché Couvert Colmar is a paradise where local vendors offer a wide variety of cheeses. During the winter season, Colmar's Christmas Market, or Marché de Noël, is a spectacular annual event. Visitors can browse stalls filled with Christmas decorations, unique handmade crafts, and local souvenirs. Held from late November to the end of December, the market often takes place on days when snow blankets the town. To keep warm, many visitors enjoy a cup of mulled wine, the perfect way to stay cozy while soaking in the magical atmosphere. Colmar's scenery feels as if it were lifted from a fairy tale. Step into Colmar's storybook streets and let its charm sweep you off your feet. You'll find it easy to fall in love with this town. Okay, let's get to it, everybody. Let's talk about the contents of today's lesson. Again, we're talking about Colmar. It's a living fairy tale in France. Is it northeast France?
Northeastern, yeah.
Yeah, very close to the German border there. Mm-hmm. And beyond its attractive streets, Colmar holds a remarkable secret that ties it to a beloved landmark, the Statue of Liberty in New York City. So in addition to the attractive seats, you know, the quaint alleys there with those half-timber houses and things like that. In addition to that, there is a remarkable secret there that is kind of related to the Statue of Liberty in New York, or I should say it has something to do with the Statue of Liberty, which seems kind of surprising. What the heck does a small city in France have to do with a statue halfway around the world in the United States of America?
Well, Americans know that the French gave us our own Statue of Liberty, and its designer, you could say, is French. We're going to talk about him. First of all, though, let's take a look at this word landmark. A landmark is a really well-known building. It could be a place. It could be actually a piece of scenery or nature that people all are aware of, and they kind of guide themselves or navigate based on that particular landmark. For me, if I get lost, especially at night, I look up into the sky to see where 101 is, And if I can see Taipei 101, I know where I am, kind of. And I can figure out. I'm not very good in the dark. I lose sense of direction, like I can't tell where north, south, east, west are. So nighttime is kind of funny to me. So, yeah, it's just a place that helps you navigate. Could be a building. In London, there's the big clock tower called Big Ben. People will navigate based on that. Or that big Ferris wheel that they have.
Right, the London Eye
they have. Those are big landmarks. All cities have them. Even small towns will have landmarks where the local people will know, oh yeah, if you see that, then go left, or if you see that, go right. We use that with landmarks. This one's called Beloved or Beloved. I think Tom read Beloved. You can also say Beloved. They're both 100% correct. You can pick the one you want.
Right. So again, the Statue of Liberty is a famous landmark in New York City, and this connection Colmar to New York City, this connection between the two, comes through this French guy by the name of Frédéric Auguste Bartoli. I hope I said that right. He was a French sculptor who designed the statue and who was born in Colmar way back in 1834. Okay, I don't think he designed it there in Colmar. Maybe he had moved to Paris by that time. I'm not quite sure, but in any case here, he is a sculptor. A sculptor, of course, is a person who makes sculptures. They work in three-dimensional art. Remember, sculptures can be any kind of three-dimensional art. It includes statues, but it also can include geometric shapes or whatever, not just pictures of people or not just statues of people.
Yeah, for a long time in history, the art would be made out of stone or metal or wood, really hard, things like that. Nowadays, you can see sculptures out of paper. So, you know, you're not limited. It just has to be 3D, and an artist will shape something or make a figure out of some particular material. So that's what a sculptor does. I've always been fascinated by sculptors because I can't imagine taking just a block of something and slowly over time whittling it away if it's wood or using large pieces of equipment to make dents or shaping that metal. I can't imagine doing it, especially the stone sculptures that we see. They're fascinating to me. So he designed it, and he was born in Colmar. And if you're born in a certain city and you later become famous, that city wants to brag about you. They want to claim you and say, oh, she's ours or he's ours. He grew up here. And I think that's where it comes from. So today, you can step inside his former home. They took his home that he grew up in and turned it into a museum. They do this a lot, don't they, for famous people? I know I like to go see those sorts of things. I like to go see the homes of people. And you can check out lots of stuff. There's a collection of models and sketches of the statue. Of course, as he's designing it, he won't just have one design on a piece of paper. Usually they go through different versions, right? And that's what you'll see there.
And you'll probably see some other sketches and models of other statues that he did during his career. And additionally, also, the museum displays Bartoli's personal belongings, which uncover his life and work. So your personal belongings are just your things, your stuff, the things that you own, your typewriter, your furniture, your closet, your clothes, your ornaments or whatever, they're all there so you can kind of get an idea as to the kind of person he was and the kind of life he led.
It says here, which uncover his life and work. You could also use reveal, which reveal his life and work. A lot of your private or personal life is not known to everybody, like the public, which is good. Although it seems like everybody is oversharing these days. Overshare just means you share too much of your private life with people who don't know you at all. But there's a lot of that going on with social media. Well, back then, there was no social media. And even famous newspapers wouldn't publish some of the things we see on social media today. So, yeah, it's a way to get an inside look, I guess, at somebody who most people didn't know outside of his art. So moving on to the next paragraph, it says, another delightful way to experience Colmar's charm is through its cuisine. So This is my favorite part of traveling, getting to taste different regions and countries' food. This is a fun thing to do. If it's delightful, it makes you happy. It gives you a lot of joy. And I could say that eating brings a lot of joy to a lot of people.
Right. And, of course, these towns usually have the big restaurants that try to attract all the tourists and things like that. They'll probably be overpriced and things like that. So ask around. Maybe you can find a quaint little restaurant in an alley somewhere that has some really authentic food.
That only the locals know about, right?
Exactly. And They'll probably recommend the kind of wine you should have with whichever dish you order from the waiter. And here it says Colmar is well known for its white wines. Wines here, that's countable here because we're talking about different kinds of wine. And, of course, we got red, rosé, and blush wine. They're all different kinds of wines. But here, the white wines, different kinds of white wine that are produced in the nearby vineyards. A vineyard, of course, is a place where wine is produced. There are vineyards, say, in South Africa, in Chile, in France, in California, and I think even in Canada they've got vineyards in some places there. They actually grow grapes to make wine from.
Remember, don't say vineyard. There was a little bit of a yard that slipped out with you, Tom. Vineyard. Vineyard. It's never vineyard. Vineyard. Yes, all of these beautiful acres of grapes that are grown. I'm sure that's lovely too. I didn't know they were famous for that, so it's kind of cool. So we're also talking about some of the things that they've put together. Here's a dish that I think I would be interested in trying, and that's the tarte flambé. You actually hear flambé a lot on cooking programs or podcasts. It's the word we use in English as well. It's a French word. You can tell it's a different language. It's got that weird little sign over the first E. Tarte flambé. Tarte is kind of a pie. So flambé means to kind of light it on fire. So let's look and see how they define this. They have a thin crust specialty over there that's topped with cream, love, onions, love, bacon, love. All these sound lovely. So this is something you might want to try. When you go to a restaurant or you're traveling, always ask the waiter or waitress if they have any specialties there. Does the chef recommend anything? Because that's something they're pretty proud of. A specialty is just a type of food or product that people recognize as being from a particular location. I was in Tainan and everybody was telling me before I went, oh, you gotta taste the coffin bread. Tom was mentioning that Taichung is famous for their pineapple cakes.
So, actually, sun cakes.
Oh, sun cakes. They're not the same. The sun cakes. So anytime you go to a particular region, you want to pick something up that they're really proud of. I don't think you'll regret it, is what I'm going to say. Taipei cities and around this area in the north and the south, they all have something that they're really good at, and it's kind of fun to see what it is.
Yep, their specialties like cow tongue cakes in Ilan. That's one of their specialties, among other things. But this is a specialty in Colmar. Again, it's topped with cream, which is a dairy product. It's got onions and bacon as well. Sounds pretty tasty. You'll also want to try the classic Alsatian bretzel, a soft, chewy baked bread usually twisted into a knot while wandering through the streets. Okay, so you're going to buy one. I guess they think it's okay to actually eat something while you're walking. In some places, that's kind of looked down on. If you buy something, you're supposed to eat it in the restaurant there or something like that. But I guess you can buy a pretzel here or a bretzel.
Yeah, especially in French culture, they look down on people who eat food on the street.
Okay, I would imagine so. You can't really do that in Japan as well.
Oh, no, they hate that.
But, so I would check first to make sure you can do this. But a bretzel, I think it's also called a pretzel.
Yeah.
Again, that's chewy baked bread that's twisted into a knot. You guys say hu die bing, which is what a pretzel is. Pretzels are pretty big, actually. The ones I grew up with were very small and crunchy. They came in a box. And, of course, they were kind of a snack. But if you eat a real pretzel, it's kind of a soft, chewy bread, and it's pretty big. It's about the size of your hand.
Nowadays in the U.S., Tom, there are really popular pretzel shops that sell the big ones, and they have different toppings on them. I think everybody kind of likes those. They're warm. If they're warm, they're even tastier. So if something's chewy, it requires a lot of chewing with your mouth. So you're going to have to chew. It's not crispy and it's not soft. It's in between. So that sounds really yummy to me. Now, one of the other things that you can do there is for cheese lovers, who's not a cheese lover, there's something called the Marché Couvert Colmar, and it's a paradise, they say, where local vendors offer a wide variety of cheeses. You can get lots of different kinds of cheeses. If there's any country known for cheese, it's France. They have more types of cheese and tasty cheese. Oh, they're really good at this stuff. And it can go from very mild to very strong. It runs the gamut, as we say. The gamut is it's just a range, G-A-M-I-T. Now, marché means a shop or market in French. Couvert means covered. So you'll be protected from rain and sun by going there and checking it out.
Yeah, maybe kind of like the Shotengai. In Japan, those covered market areas or whatever. So, yeah, don't worry about the rain or snow. It's covered there, so you'll be nice and safe. Although it's still outside, maybe, so you're going to be cold, I guess, but still the cheeses are going to be excellent. You can try different kinds of cheese. Okay, we're over the halfway point right now, so let's take a break and listen to our Chinese teacher, but stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hello, everyone. 我是 Patrick. 今天讲解的是 Colmar Francis Loving Fairy Tale,第二天的课文内容，这个单元介绍的是法国城市 Colmar。 好，这座城市在德法边界，就像童话世界一样，而且跟美国还有一些渊源。大家应该都听过纽约的自由女神像，但你们知道吗？这座女神像的设计哦，其实是 Colmar 当地一位非常著名雕塑家的巧思。在 Colmar 现在呢，还有它的博物馆呢。好，那另外 Colmar 也是可以让饕客享受美酒佳肴的地方，喝喝白酒配上那里特产的 cheese 非常的惬意。好，我们一起来看学习重点。那请同学呢先看到第一段的第一个句子，在一刚开始的时候就开宗明义的让我们知道最特别的地方在哪里，它有一个秘密。这个秘密呢是什么？原来这边是自由女神像，当时这位设计师他就是在这里发迹的。好，那请同学呢看到 a remarkable secret 后面有一个关系子句，从 that 开始，请特别注意的呢就是这个 ties it to a beloved landmark, the Statue of Liberty in New York City。 这里 tie 是当作动词，表示呢把什么跟什么呢建立起连结的关系。好，那这位设计师呢，他叫做什么名字呢？那他叫 Bartoldi， 因为呢非常的有名嘛，所以哦这个地方就有了他的博物馆。那博物馆呢当然就以他为名， Bartoldi Museum。 好，再来请同学呢看到第二段，这边第二段的第一个句子告诉我们说，如果到 Colmar 除了以上所说的这些景色，还有呢这个人文景点 Bartoldi Museum 之外，也可以呢享受一下美食。请看到最后就是 cuisine。 好，那有什么样的美食佳肴呢？第二句就告诉我们， Colmar is well known for its white wines， 所以以什么而出名，同学很熟，那就是后面的白酒，那有各式各样的。好，所以呢我们继续往下看第三个句子，有各式各样的白酒，所以这里用复数，最适合搭配什么来一起享用。我们看 pair with 就是和什么搭配在一起，配着什么吃或配着什么喝的意思。
We're going to take a quick break. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Okay, welcome back. Let's continue to talk about Colmar. It's kind of like living in a fairy tale. If you go there, there are a couple things to see that we've already talked about. You could go to the the Bartholdi Museum to see some models and sketches of the Statue of Liberty. You could also check out the food there. They've got great white wine there that are produced in nearby vineyards. And, of course, they've got tasty dishes as well. They've got tart flambé, which is a thin crust specialty with cream, onions, and bacon. And then, of course, you can try a bretzel as you walk through the streets. And then you can go to the Marché Couvert Colmar, the covered market of Colmar, to try different kinds of cheese.
Yeah, we kind of skipped over vendor. It's just a person who sells things. Usually you'll see vendors outside here, but you could have a vendor that has a store as well. So it's just someone who sells things to customers or to other businesses, perhaps. Now, during the winter season, it's a beautiful time to go, but you gotta bundle up, guys. It's cold in Europe. So don't forget to take your warmest coat and scarves and things like that, gloves. During the winter season, you can go to Colmar's Christmas market, and this one's called Marché de Noël. Marché de Noël. It's a spectacular annual event, which means it's probably well known around the area. And especially in Europe, people, of course, will know about it. A lot of Americans will not know about it because a lot of Americans don't know about things that are going on in Europe. But this sounds like something I would particularly love to do. I have a sister and a mom who used to collect Christmas ornaments, anything to do with Christmas, especially nutcrackers that look like soldiers made out of wood. And they have a little device inside them that can crack open nuts. My sister has at least 12 of those at this point in her life. But this sounds like a fun place to go and a very merry place to go. Something or somewhere that's kind of joyful where people are happy.
Yep. And if you're a visitor, you can browse stalls filled with Christmas decorations, unique handmade crafts, and local souvenirs. So to browse just kind of means to look at stuff and to kind of compare it with other things and maybe ask about the price or whatever. People may say that, can I help you with something? Oh, no, thank you. I'm just browsing. I'm just kind of looking at things here. And yes, indeed, you can get those Christmas decorations, which could be, you know, an angel or something or those balls or whatever, candy canes or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And also they've got handmade crafts, things that are made by hand, little sculptures or whatever. And, of course, local souvenirs, something you might want to buy to remember your journey by. And, of course, yeah, they'll probably have lots of choices there to pick from.
Oh, it'd be a great place to go if you want to bring little gifts home for your friends and family, which is very popular here in Taiwan. It's popular everywhere. I know when my parents went to Europe for a month and left us kids with my grandparents, they brought home a whole suitcase full of souvenirs for their children. Just to let us know they didn't forget us, but they were having fun by themselves. So you can browse and pick up some stuff to take home with you. And anything that's handmade is pretty cool and unique, it says here, but it's something that people will really cherish. So it's held from late November to the end of December, and the market often takes place on days when snow blankets the town. If something is blanketed, it means it's really covered fully. So you can expect snow. That's why when you go there, you need to definitely take your warmest winter clothes.
Yeah, but blanket, of course, is a piece of cloth that you put over your body when you take a nap or when you go to bed or whatever. So we're using blanket here as a verb. It just means there's like a blanket of snow over the town. And to keep warm, many visitors enjoy a cup of mulled wine, the perfect way to stay cozy while soaking in the magical atmosphere. So here, mulled wine, I think it's just wine, usually red wine, that has some spices and things
yeah.
in it. And it keeps you warm during the winter. It's usually only drunk during the winter, during the Christmas season. But you can stay cozy with this wine. That means comfortable or warm. And you can soak in the magical atmosphere. Okay, so to soak in or soak just means to kind of surround yourself by something. Usually soaking means you put something in water and let it stay in the water for a while. Like if you have some dirty dishes that are too difficult to clean right now, so you soak it in water maybe overnight so that it will be easier to wash in the morning. So you can soak in the magical atmosphere or soak in that atmosphere. You can enjoy it and really sort of take it in, absorb it.
Yeah, those are both really good synonyms to absorb something or take something in. It's a perfect way to stay cozy, it says. If you're cozy, you're warm, you're comfortable, you're feeling quite good about life. You have kind of a homey feeling. If you don't drink wine, there might be some apple cider there with spices. In the Christmas season, especially, a lot of people liked the warm drinks. So you'll find either mulled wine or this spicy apple cider that you can drink. Or what's that Christmas drink that has eggnog?
Eggnog.
Yeah, eggnog, if you like that. I'm not such a fan of that. It's a little creamy for me, but a lot of people like that too. There's eggnog without alcohol, and there's eggnog with alcohol. So make sure that you give your kids the proper or the appropriate one. You don't want them walking around drunk. Now, it is a great place, though, as Tom said, to kind of soak in this magical fairy tale kind of feeling that you have around you. It says Colmar scenery feels as if it were lifted from a fairy tale. So our author is kind of going back to the original paragraph there, saying this is like a fairy tale land, and you're stepping back in time, and a lot of things that you see seem almost unreal, so magical that they don't seem to be something that you see in real life.
Yep, step into Colmar's storybook streets and let its charm sweep you off your feet. To sweep someone off their feet just means to captivate them. You're really charming. You might say that about if you meet a handsome boy or something like that, and he's tall and handsome, and he drives a nice car, he might sweep you off your feet. You'll feel like you're in love with him.
Mm-hmm.
And this place may sweep you off your feet because you'll be enchanted by the place. You'll be charmed by the place. You'll find it easy to fall in love with this town. It does sound like a town that lots of people would like to go check out and relax in and spend some time in and enjoy the local culture. Okay, we're at the end of our explanation for today. It's time now to turn things over to our Chinese teacher.
好，那我们接着看到第三段。如果游客是刚好在冬天的时候到 Colmar 来参访、来玩的话，可以去看什么呢？这里的市集，就是 Christmas Market。好，那我们一边走一边逛，会看到很多小摊位嘛。这种小摊位英文怎么说呢 ？Stalls。那动词可以说 Visitors can browse stalls， 就慢慢走、慢慢看。那这里面就有很多圣诞节的吊饰之类的。那接着我们往下看到第四个句子。毕竟哦，如果你是在冬天参访 Colmar， 天气应该是相当冷的。那一般的游客有没有什么取暖的方法、保暖的方法呢？有的，请看到第四句 ,to keep warm, many visitors enjoy a cup of malt wine. 诶，所以呢，在这边哦，其实也可以喝酒，暖暖胃。那能够呢 ,the preferred way to stay cozy. Cozy 这个字用得很好，那其实也有一种很舒服、很保暖的意思。那再来，我们请看到第四段的第一个句子。Colmar scenery feels as if it were lifted from a fairy tale. 在介绍这整个景点的最刚开始，我们就提到说，很多人去过 Colmar 之后会说，这里实在是美得像童话世界。好，那第四段的第一个句子就这样子告诉我们，这边的景色会让人觉得好像哦，这个地方呢，是童话故事里面一样。好，用的就是假设语气 as if it 后面原本哦 it 第三人称单数大家会期待的呢是像 is， 那如果过去式呢会期待的是 was， 可这里用的是 were， 为什么？因为这是假设语气，这是一个真实的地方，当然不是童话世界，那我们要用假设语气，所以呢这个后面的 be 动词不论前面是第几人称，我们一律呢都是用 were。好，再来请同学呢看到第二个句子 Step into Colmar Storybook Streets。 那前面已经讲到说这地方太美了，像童话世界、童话故事一样，那后面呢就告诉我们说，诶，对啊，所以这边的街道都像是故事书里面所描述的那样子。 And let its charm sweep you off your feet。 请同学看到后面的这个 sweep you off your feet， 这也算是一个呢固定的用法，意思是让人呢为之倾倒，让人神魂颠倒的意思。我们通常会用这句话来形容某个人或者某件事物在瞬间呢吸引了我们，让我们觉得很感动。好，那比方说啊，如果有机会大家到美国去参观大峡谷，那边非常的壮观嘛，那你就可以照这样一个句子， The beautiful view of the Grand Canyon swept me off my feet。 好的，以上呢就是我们针对这篇课文内容所做的中文讲解。 I'll see you next time。
That's all the time we have for today's lesson, guys. We hope you enjoyed learning more about Colmar, France, and we hope you get the chance to go over there and check it out. And if you do get a chance,Try to make it during the Christmas season. That's the most magical time of the year. And if you have some time, check out our Facebook page and our YouTube videos to learn some more. For English Digest, I'm Stephanie.
I'm Tom. Goodbye.
Bye.